is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
107.7 The Bronx, 107.7TheBronx.com. Proudly nominated for a National Association of Broadcasters 2019 Marconi Award for Best College Radio Station of the Year. And live from the Rider University Studios, it's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasano. And alongside me today is Dom DeRosa and our special guest for this week's episode. He's the host of Just In Sports. You can catch that Wednesdays 4 to 5 on 107.7 The Bronx as well. Justin Reedman joins us today. And this is going to be a kind of interesting show. Obviously, we have Justin, a phenomenal sports talker, on the show with us. And we're without two of our other guests, Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs, and Sean Johnson. Noah, unfortunately, couldn't be here because he went to a baseball game, but he didn't go to a Yankee game. He went to a Met game. Now, it would have been okay if Jacob DeGrom was pitching, but Taijuan Walker is. Like, what the heck is that, Noah?
Yeah, but I'm actually shocked. I just realized today with my dad, they're in Philadelphia. He went all the way down to Philly. I thought he was going to Citi Field. I didn't know the Phillies were home.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I know he has friends up there. That might be why.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I know it's a little bit of a hike for him up in north.
Yeah. He's like, no, I don't know if I can drive. Like, my car's not the greatest.
I got to go get my cheesesteak, and, you know, I gotta go.
Yeah. So he's doing that, and then Sean has a family matter to attend to. So he won't be joining us, unfortunately. But it's going to be a great show. Justin's with us. Justin, how are you doing? You ready to get this thing rolling?
I'm excited to be on. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. So we're getting right into it. We talked about it last week, what we thought was going to happen, and it kind of already happened. The NFL draft came and still is going on, but it basically kind of went basically after the first day, because only anybody really cares about is the first night of the draft. But it happened. Some of our predictions did come true. Zach Wilson, obviously, he did go number 2 overall to the New York Jets. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence went number 1. To the Jacksonville Jaguars. However, Dami, and you talked about this on your show, the biggest steal of the draft, in my opinion, was the Eagles taking Devontae Smith. I've heard people say that he's a little bit, but I think this guy's going to be a great player, a great wideout in the NFL, and the Eagles snagged him. So that was my pick that I thought was like, wow, like that was actually a really good pick. But Justin, you're a football fan. You're a big Washington football fan. Were you happy with how, you know, the selection that they made in the first night and how they've been taking on this draft going forward?
Oh my gosh, I was so excited to see that they were using their heads, being smart with the picks 2 years in a row. I mean, living in the Bruce Allen era, so many, you know, most of my life, they do stupid stuff in the draft. Mm-hmm. They filled in the spots that they needed. They drafted a linebacker, middle linebacker. We need that. We have young guys. I mean, I don't know if Holcomb or Bostic are the people I don't know if they're the guys that we need at linebackers. So we need to fill the gaps there. Kerrigan plays outside, but I mean, he's leaving. So I don't know if the guy from Kentucky we got is going to play middle or go outside. So fill in that gap. We needed offensive linemen. Brandon Scherff is not happy in Washington. We franchise tagged him again. We offered him a max contract, but he declined. So we're filling in gaps, mm-hmm. and I was satisfied with that.
Yeah, I feel like that's really kind of the point for, I guess, teams, I guess, in your sense, who I would say that people did have doubts about that, but you guys kind of turned it off. But yes, there are gaps to fill, and that's the point. You're supposed to fill in the gaps. You guys have done that well. The Jets apparently did that really well. They basically drafted a whole offensive team, you know, based on what, you know, I saw our good friend Chris Witowski yesterday, and he told me, yeah, they basically just drafted a whole new offense. So that'll be interesting to see. You know, I know my Colts, they made some moves. They re-upped the defense. They got an edge rusher, I think. So
yeah, you guys did.
So that was good. But Dom, your Raiders, how do you feel? Or do you just not care?
I don't care. I literally can't name you one pick that they selected because John Gruden is so stupid. And ever since they hired him, the Raiders have been so stupid. I miss Jack Del Rio. Justin, please keep taking good care of my man. Yeah, you know, this Gruden era thing, it just doesn't make sense. You can draft all the defense you want, and which Justin was telling me they have done. But, you know, once they go on the field, it's got to produce. I mean, the Raiders have tried that in the past. Crosby's turned out okay, but Carl Joseph's no longer on the team, and he was average at best anyway. Gary and Conley was a good prospect, but he gets smoked in one game at corner, and they trade him away. So I don't know. Even if they draft it, I'm not confident that they're going to be teaching these kids how to actually play, because our defense, you might as well have no one out there, and it would be a better defense than the Raiders right now. So it's ridiculous. If Jack Del Rio was still the coach, I would pay attention to this team, but I didn't like Gruden since day one.
Wow.
Let me ask you a question about Gruden and how good of a coach is he really? He has the one Super Bowl, and I talked about this when I was a football manager in high school. The coach always said he never called the Super Bowl of John Gruden's. He said Tony Dungy built that team, and John Gruden just happened to be the coach the year they won.
Yeah, that's what I've heard that from a lot of people too. He was just at the right place at the right time.
Oh yeah, you see, it's like when someone makes you food, right, and they just hand it all to you. You don't have to go up and get it. John Gruden's right now sitting at the table with Tony Dungy just giving him everything on his platter. That is exactly what happened. I agree with that. The Buccaneers team just fell into his lap, and that was the year they won and actually killed the Raiders. I just don't think Gruden is a competent coach. I think he's past his day anyway. It's something the Raiders would do.
Yeah. It's all about that spider to white banana, man.
Oh man.
Yeah, but enough about that. Besides what our teams have done, I don't know. I kind of didn't really pay attention other than, you know, kind of the first like 25 picks in the draft. But Justin, you're a big Washington Wizards fan. You have two superstars on your team, Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. You guys are sitting 10th in the Eastern Conference. So therefore, you technically are in the playoffs, but you're a play-in team. How are you liking what you're seeing from your team so far this season, and also from Russell Westbrook, because he's got some flack for, you know, putting up triple doubles, and you know you guys aren't getting the wins, and then he's breaking these records, but do they really matter? It's this weird situation. I want to get your thoughts on, you know, where your team stands, where you think they're going to go, and also your thoughts on Westbrook so far this season, and also through these last couple of weeks of him breaking these triple double records.
And I am one of those guys who have been yelling about how he can get all the triple doubles he wants and we don't win and it doesn't matter. But now that we're winning on this hot streak, we lost this to the Spurs, but had a big comeback win against the Lakers. I'm going to apologize to Russ and say we are winning that trade right now after seeing John Wall out for the rest of the season again.
Mm-hmm.
Just his energy on the court, and then him accepting that he's a two on the team and that it's Bradley Beal's team. And I'll give Russ kudos to this. Since the moment he got here, he said, I'm going to do whatever Brad needs. And they built some connections. Since the All-Star break ended and they got over 500, they got some kind of connection. It was when Scott Brooks changed the lineup. He put Russ, Beal, Garrison Matthews, who I think is very underrated. He's a two-way. He's very underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Rui Hachimura, and then he would switch with the big men. But when he inserted Garrison Matthews into the starting lineup, he benched Denny Avdija, who was doing great off the bench before he got hurt. That's when we got rolling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's great, you know, because this was a team that, you know, in the beginning of the season, they were losing a lot of games, and, you know, they were putting up, Bradley Beal was putting up some ridiculous numbers. Russell Westbrook was, again, like we said, putting up triple doubles, but there were no wins coming around. So it's good to see that they didn't give up hope, and also that Scott Brooks was able to kind of figure out a way to get this team to kind of gel and start coming together as a unit and start winning some games, because it'd be great to see them back in the playoffs, you know, because it's been a while since they've been in the playoffs.
It would be nice. I get worried all the time. We see them get on this hot streak. They'll sneak into the playoffs, and then they'll just lose again. But if they get in and if they get that 8 seed, they'll be playing your Brooklyn Nets, which we talked about on my show last week with you, which is going to be an interesting matchup because of the whole big men, because DeAndre Jordan, would you say is like the closest one you'd have for like the best, or would you put Claxton up there? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would say DeAndre Jordan, but I remember when we played you guys, when we had that epic collapse, you know, DeAndre Jordan was just a non-factor in the paint. I would watch Bradley Beal just blow past, you know, Kyrie Irving cannot hang on to him. He'd do some quick, what's the word I'm looking for? Just he'd do a quick little move, blow right past Kyrie Irving, and DeAndre is just in no man's land in the paint and just blow past him for an easy layup. Same thing with Russell Westbrook too. He would do a quick hezzy or something like that, blow past his defender, and then was easily being able to beat DeAndre and just get into the paint. So I feel like they got to step that up. But with Nick Claxton back, Claxton does play superior defense, way better than DeAndre Jordan. So I feel like if he's in there more and starts, I feel like that could become an issue for you guys against us in the paint. But, you know, we're still ways away from that. But, you know, that'd be kind of a fun matchup to see, because I know there's going to be a chip on our shoulders based on how that one game turned out against you guys early on in the season. Because trust me, I was not happy when that happened. I remember I was looking in the group chat and my friends were like, oh my God, oh my God. I'm like, oh no, what happened? And then I saw Bradley Beal hit that ridiculous three. I was like, oh man, I do not like where this is going. And then Russ hits with, I'm like, oh my God. I was just so over myself with that. But you were probably just like so happy though.
Oh yeah. And real quick, for a big, an X factor for a big, Daniel Gafford. If he's playing and he's doing well, there's one point when he was playing, the Wizards won 10 out of their last 11 when Gafford was healthy and active. That was a great trade at the deadline. Got to give props to Tommy Shepard. And he traded away Troy Brown, who was a mistake to pick 2 years ago. And Mo Wagner, who I liked a lot, but Gafford was an upgrade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, Justin Riemann is going to be on the show for the entirety of the show, so he's going to stick around. We're going to do This Day in Sports History. And on this day, 6 years ago today, one of the most iconic fights in boxing history took place. And we'll talk about it, and we'll agree if it lived up to the hype it did 6 years ago. You'll find out what that is after the break, only on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7TheBronc.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
TheBronc.com, live from the Rider University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasano. And alongside me today is Dom DeRosa. And our special guest for this show, the host of Just In Sports, Justin Riemann, joins us. He's going to be here with us for the entirety of the show. And segment two, it's This Day in Sports History. And on this day, May 2nd, in 2015, one of the most iconic and most hyped up boxing matches happened in the history of the sport. And that was Floyd Money Mayweather against Manny Pacquiao. Now, this fight had a lot of buzz from the moment that it was announced. There were countdown days leading up to it, people predicting who was going to win and why. It was kind of a toss-up at times. But in my opinion, and I'll get your guys' opinion in a second if you guys remember it, because it was 6 years ago, so you know you gotta go back in time a little bit. It didn't live up to the hype. You know, Manny Pacquiao really wasn't himself. We found out later that he was injured, supposedly. You know, that was the reason why he wasn't himself. That's what he's claiming, but we don't know that for sure. And yeah, Floyd just kind of did his thing. It wasn't this oohs and ah kind of match. It was kind of just mundane. I feel like that's what it is with a lot with these boxing matches. That it's all hype. Then it happens, and it's a massive letdown. So, Dom, I'll start with you. You said you watched this illegally, like most people probably did, because you didn't want to spend those $100 to just watch it. But how much of it do you remember?
Oh, man. All right. You made me feel better about myself. I thought I was going to get ripped on like a little paper shredder. Yeah, I remember a lot of it. I didn't watch it all. I kind of watched towards the end when it ended pretty quickly because I found the stream. But, hey, I rooted for Floyd Mayweather at the time, and I'm glad he won. It was a shame to see Manny Pacquiao do what he did. Obviously, knowing after the fact that an injury happened. So, you know, but I just remember Floyd, like he usually does, take its time. And Pacquiao really couldn't handle that. He just didn't look like himself. Pacquiao was pretty slow. And he just wasn't really that movable.
Mm-hmm.
And Floyd just kind of let Pacquiao try and do some damage. But obviously Floyd let him exert his energy very quickly.
Yeah, Justin, I'll point this to you. I mean, I said before, right at the beginning of the segment, how these boxing matches that get put on, it's all this hype. You know, we had this one that 6 years ago. We've been having these Jake Paul fights, and in about a month, the Floyd Mayweather Logan Paul fight's gonna happen. So what do you think of the state of the sport of boxing? I mean, I know I don't think you're a big boxing fan, but in terms of like them hyping it up and then it's just this kind of, I guess, massive letdown, like what are your thoughts on that? Do you think there's anything that they could change to do to kind of make it exciting and worthwhile for more people to watch?
So I'll say, yeah, I'm not a big boxing guy, but I watch a lot of PTI, Pardon the Interruption, on ESPN's my favorite show. And Tony and Mike talk all the time about how boxing is just dead, and it's not what it used to be back then with Tyson and Frazier back then.
Yeah.
And I think they're right. It's just all this hype. I remember just looking at my Twitter feed after that. I didn't watch the Pacquiao of Mayweather, but I just remember watching, look at my feed. I was like, wow, already it's done already. It was just that quick. And then this stuff with the Jake Paul now, I've had enough of it, to be honest. I just think it's pathetic, and it's nothing like it used to be a long time ago with Ali and Frazier. And yeah, that's how I feel about that.
So almost like, hang on, I'll get to you a second. So it's almost like the sport's becoming a joke almost, you know, with these yeah, influencers becoming boxers, right? Because we have Jake Paul, you know, he's becoming somewhat serious. Logan Paul is doing this with Floyd Mayweather. Bryce Hall apparently is supposedly going to start boxing again. We'll see how that douchebag does. But I agree with you on that, and in my take, I think it makes sense. But Don, what was your point you were going to make?
Yeah, I agree with Justin right there. I think a lot of sports, basketball, football, and especially boxing, it's all just for show. It's all for a popularity contest now. You want to make yourself known on the highlight reel, or just known in general. So he's right, you know. Wrestling and all that kind of stuff, used to be so passionate and stuff with really good stories. Now it's like stupid wannabe millionaire YouTubers that are going out there just to make even more money, and stupid people are going to be watching that.
Yeah.
You know, supporting it.
Yeah. No, I agree. I just think that, you know, it's just, I mean, at the end of the day, it's entertainment, but it's like, you know, are we really like, do we really need like another like WWE kind of thing where like, yeah, that's entertainment, but we know half of that's like not real, and that it's all like scripted and played out. You know, because I remember I watched this video of like The Rock, right? And he was talking about how he was at WrestleMania 35 a couple years ago, and he did this big fight with John Cena, and it was all scripted. And I know I'm kind of getting off track, but like he got hurt during that fight. Like he got seriously hurt, and you know, he was about to, you know, walk off and say, no, I'm not going to do it. Like he can't do it anymore. But again, there's like 75,000 people there. It's at MetLife Stadium, WrestleMania. It's the biggest event in WWE. And he kept doing it, but then again, that's entertainment, you know. If The Rock, if this was like an actual like match for like a career in like boxing, and that happened, I don't think he would have kept going. But getting back to wrestling, you know, I think you are right. I think, look, we're never gonna see another Muhammad Ali. Mike Tyson, you know, he'll never be what he once was. The reason why I say once was because obviously he had that match earlier in the year with another old boxer, I forget his name, but that was kind of just, it was almost like they were hugging one another throughout that entire match. And Mike Tyson wasn't that, you know, he wasn't that guy who was like, you know, back in the day, he was like mean, and so he's like had that killer attitude where like, I'm just going to beat the living out of you. And, you know, it's kind of just, he was like, oh, I'm so happy. Like, it was great to do this. I'm just like, that's like the Mike Tyson I thought people talked about. Yeah. You know, this guy was a ruthless guy. He just wanted to, you know, beat the living crap out of you. But obviously, you know, the sports changed, you know, it's not these, you know, big battles. It's like kind of like one and done. Cause you know, there's rumors that Jake Paul fight was scripted. We talked about it last week.
Yeah. And social media has killed it too. Really?
Also for real media. Though.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, I just think it's funny. I'm just waiting for one of these guys to just get knocked on their feet.
Which one's fighting Floyd Mayweather and when?
Logan. I think it's like June 2nd or 6th it's happening.
Oh, I'm so
I think it's June 6th because June 1st is a Tuesday. So I think it's June 6th, Saturday night.
I just want to see him go down in 5 seconds.
Yeah, I know. I do, too.
Well, it might take longer because Floyd takes his time, so he might purposely do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, I'll watch that for entertainment.
I'll watch that, too, because this is actually going to be an actual, like, full-on, like, match
yeah.
where, like, they're going to, like, it's going to be fun, and I just hope he just gets humbled.
Now, is that Logan's first ever fight?
No,
Jake's gotten
some. He's fought in KSI twice.
And he won twice.
No. I think the first fight was a draw, and the second fight he would have won, but because of a penalty call that happened midway through that fight, he lost 2 points, and KSI won by 1 point.
Yeah.
So that's how that happened. But yeah, I mean, again, they're not fighting real boxers. They're fighting, like, other YouTubers and NBA stars. I'm just like... what the heck? But, you know.
Nate Robinson. What was that about?
Oh, yeah. I saw like memes about that. And like when he got literally knocked out, they played that the window shut down theme song. Dun, 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 dun. It's so bad. If you guys have a chance, you know, look up Jake Paul knocking out Nate Robinson. No one saw that coming. I didn't see it coming. I was in utter shock when he got him like that. But you know, 6 years ago, one of the most iconic fights happened, but unfortunately it didn't live up to the hype. So hopefully this, you know, Logan Paul Floyd Mayweather fight kind of does. We'll wait and see. And we'll talk about that in early mid-June. So yeah, we'll blink and it'll already be like June 10th.
Yeah,
so it's gonna be wild. But we gotta take a quick break. Justin Reedman is here with us today, and when we come back, it's gonna be the game of the week, or so-called games of the week. It's a baseball series. What is it? You'll find out in the next segment, only on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7thebronc.com.
and we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
107.7 The Bronc, 107.7thebronc.com, live from the Rider University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasano. And alongside me today is Dom DeRosa and our special guest for this week, Justin Reedman of Just In Sports. So right now is the third segment of the show. It's the game of the week. And finally, the Yankees might get revenge. It's Houston versus New York in Yankee Stadium. The reason why I say revenge is because back in 2017, as many people know who are baseball fans, the Astros cheated that entire season, and more importantly, they cheated in the ALCS against the Yankees. The reason why I say that is because they were up 2-0 in that series, but they were home those first two games. Next three games, we clobber them, go up 3-2 in that series, one game away from going to the World Series with a team that wasn't expected to really make the playoffs at all. It was a transition period, young, up-and-coming team with totally new players. They were called the Baby Bombers. And, we got cheated out of a World Series appearance, possibly World Series title win. We don't know if we would have beat the Dodgers, but, again, we'll never know. And, yeah, it would come out later that the Astros were cheating. They were sign-stealing and using cameras to pick out pitches. They were using garbage cans and other ways to, get an advantage on everybody else. And, yeah, it wasn't good for the game. Wasn't good for them. That World Series is forever tainted by the Astros. No matter what they say or what they do, in the eyes of many, it's tainted. Doesn't matter. Put an asterisk next to that World Series title. So this is the time that the Yankees have revenge on them. They're playing good baseball. They just, you know, they had a great series against Cleveland last weekend. They played really well against Baltimore. They're playing really well against Detroit. Now, this is an Astros team that is pretty good. They're above 500. They're third in the West. And I'm excited for this matchup. I just want to destroy them, put them in their place. So Justin, I'll start with you. You know, as a baseball fan like you are, you're a Nationals fan. Obviously, your team won the World Series against those Houston Astros. So I was very happy that they won. Shout out to the boy, Howie Kendrick, for coming up clutch in that game. But, what are your thoughts on the Houston Astros just as a whole? And what are you looking for in this series?
So first off, Rob Manfred never handled the situation correctly. And this is why we're still today, you know, hating on them and, you know, want, well, I mean, just, you know, just hating on them in general, because he never punched him. You know, that title maybe should have been stripped. They never got, like, you know, they never got the right punishment. So I'm excited to see the excitement, like the excitement between, you know, I don't know what the fan capacity is like up in New York, but it's gonna be loud and exciting, I know for sure. The pitching, that's what I want to talk about. Are the pitchers, you think, are gonna like intentionally try to hit the players? Because like that's what happened in the past, and I think that's happened because the commissioner Manfred never doing like the proper punishment. They feel like they have to serve some kind of justice and like do that to the players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree too. I think that might happen. I don't know if it's gonna happen, but the only thing I could see is because really, if you really think about it, none of the pitchers, our starting pitchers, were on that 2017 roster. So I don't think there's gonna be that much retaliation from them.
That's right. They're all gone.
Yeah, they're all gone. So because Severino's not back, Cesar Sabathiaoshi retired, Tanaka went back to Japan. And yeah, but I will say this. I'm excited, though, because I do know that Gerrit Cole will likely pitch in that series because he pitched Friday. The first series is on Tuesday. So you think about it, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. He could pitch the Wednesday matchup. So I hope he just shuts them down and, you know, reminds them what they're missing.
He's having an excellent season, too, so that will be fun.
Exactly.
I remember, Anthony, that World Series where they lost and Gerrit Cole didn't come in and he was all, like, upset about it. I remember you called it that day. You said he's leaving, and if he's not a Yankee, I'm shocked.
Yeah. Yeah, you just, I was shocked for you and Game 7, I think it was. I think it was Game 6 or 7 that he wasn't brought into the game. Because basically, if he was brought into that game, you guys were not going to win.
I thought we were going to get swept, first of all.
Glad you weren't, though.
And the crazy thing is they were cheating there, too. And I just remember players like Kurt Suzuki speaking out about
that's right
how it was obvious that they were cheating and giving signals. So crazy. But, yeah. Oh, sorry. I lost track of the question. Can you say it again? My fault.
What was my question? How would you, what were your thoughts about, you know, were you shocked that Gerrit Cole did not come in that crucial situation, like in game 6 or game 7 of that series?
Yeah, because what you do, I know in the playoffs, that's what you do. You warm up the guys in the bullpen, the starting pitchers, even if it's for a few innings. I know we did that with Corbin. I know he's not a number one in the rotation, but that's what you do in the playoffs if you need a guy in a crucial situation. We've done it with Scherzer in the past. I was surprised to see Cole not come in. I mean, I personally was excited because that gave us the title, but yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah, I was too. You could tell in Cole's face too during that he was just not happy. He wanted to come in there. He wanted to ring. He wanted to do what he can because he knew if he came in, he would have done everything in his power to get them over the hump. And AJ Hinch, just I don't know where his head was at, but wasn't in the right spot. But that is the series or games of the week: Houston versus New York. And real quick, you know, since we're on the topic of baseball, Justin, obviously you're a big Nationals fan, as we keep mentioning, 2019 champions. A lot of your roster kind of still encompasses that team, as you know, as we're only 2 years removed from that championship. However, you guys are kind of off to a rocky start. You know, we talked about this on your show this past week. You know, starting pitching has been a little suspect. Max Scherzer hasn't really been the same. He is getting older, so we kind of give him a pass. Strasburg's still injured, but John Lester came back. He was, you know, he had, I guess you told me he had COVID, and I guess it was probably more serious than other people had.
They never had a reason why he was on the list. So I don't know what he had, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. But you said he pitched, but he made his debut this past Friday, correct?
Yep.
So what were your thoughts on him? Because he is, I mean, again, pedigree pitcher, one of the great pitchers of the game. But again, he's getting old. So what are your thoughts on him so far, based on the one start?
He did his job and what was expected. I mean, I'm not expecting him to come in and pitch 7-8 innings. He pitched, I believe, 5 innings. And then our bullpen took care and did the job, and we won the game. And then hitting was consistent. That's the thing the Nats need to do. The hitting and the pitching both need to be consistent on the same night, because year after year, it's either the pitching is really great or the hitting is, and not both. And that's what we saw Friday night. So I expect Lester to, if he pitches 5-6 good innings and then we could get a good night from the bullpen, I'm satisfied, and then keep the hitting consistent.
Yeah, yeah, because you are right in a sense that, you know, both have got to be on. I think just in general for any team, both have to be on. I think that's why you guys, you know, won that World Series, because your hitting was on, clutch hits in that situation, and then Steven Strasburg just led the charge for your crazy World Series run that you guys had. You know, and it was also great that you had Max Scherzer kind of behind him as well. It's kind of just like, you know, kind of, I guess I would say, kind of relieving some pressure, because he knew he wasn't the guy. He still had another horse behind him saying, hey, look, buddy, I got your back. If he does kind of fall apart, but he never did. But obviously, you know, he did it, won the MVP, got the big contract, and has been the same since. And obviously, we talked about that, you know, previously, but we won't get into that, because it's kind of just, we would just be repeating again what we've been saying. But Dom, you know, your Padres, you know, they're a week removed from that crazy Dodgers series. You're probably not going to play the Dodgers for a little while.
Till June.
So you got a break from them. But we're a week removed from that series. And how are you liking your Padres this week?
Well, they got a big win against the Giants the other day. We got to see what they keep on doing. And the Giants are very impressive. But the Padres, they're looking good and phenomenal on the pitching aspect, both the starters and the bullpen. Darvish, easily the best pitcher so far that we've had in the rotation. And then in the bullpen, Tim Hill has been fantastic. Mark Melanson, 9 saves and 9 opportunities. So he hasn't broken that yet. I'm very impressed with that. For any flaws, definitely the hitting when it comes to runners in scoring position. You got to score more than 2 to 3 runs sometimes, and that's what's been hurting the pitcher's win-loss ratio. So that's going to be one thing, but right now I'm impressed. They really had a good bounce-back series against LA in Dodgers Stadium, the very boring Dodgers Stadium. So that was good, and against the Giants, we got to keep seeing what they do.
Yeah, because the Giants are playing pretty well.
I like what they've done this offseason. They had a pretty quiet one. I know they got some veterans and they're a little older, but, you know, I like what they're doing. You got Jake McGee and Alex Wood, former LA Dodgers, on that team now. So Jake McGee is now your closer. Alex Wood is either your starter or long reliever. I like the Giants. They play hard and, you know, good ball.
Yeah. It's shocking to see them kind of do their thing and kind of still, not say in contention with the Dodgers and Padres, but just kind of staying afloat, you know, being competitive.
Yeah.
That's all you can want, you know, competitive baseball throughout. But that's the game of the week, the series of the week, Astros Yankees, and also just getting quick recaps on both Justin and Don's favorite team, the Nationals and Padres. But we're going to take another quick break when we come back to the fourth and final segment, lock of the day. But it's going to be brief because, you know, my partner in crime, Noah and Sean, aren't with me. They're the sports bettors. Justin and Dom, unfortunately, they aren't big sports bettors, but that's okay. It's good to not gamble away your money.
I would cry if I ever did a sports bet, and even if I lost $15, I would say, Anthony, never again.
Yeah, it's hard because
feel that.
Yeah, because as you know, we'll talk about more about this in the fourth segment. You're listening to the Sports Fever only on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7TheBronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
The Bronx, 107.7TheBronx.com, live from the Ryder University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasano. And alongside me today is Don DeRosa and our special guest for this week of Justin Sports, Justin Reedman. So it's the final segment of the show. It's the lock of the day. However, Noah nor Sean are not here with us, but that's okay. I'll still get my lock of the day. So my two locks, obviously, you know, last week wasn't the greatest. The Yankees unfortunately lost, even though we had them at +1.5. They got destroyed. That's okay. You know, you win some, you lose some. But I am going to go back with the Yankees again. They're playing really well these last couple games this week. They're facing the Tigers, who aren't the best team in baseball at all. And Corey Kluber's pitching. He had a great outing this past week against Baltimore. Really showed the old Corey Kluber back in Cleveland. So I like them. against the Tigers, take the money line. And then I also like the Angels against the Mariners because of the pitching matchup. Justice Sheffield against Dylan Bundy. Sheffield really hasn't been what he was promised to be ever since the Yankees traded him for James Paxton a couple years ago. And Dylan Bundy has really become a different pitcher ever since going to Los Angeles. So I like the Angels and the Yankees for today. And obviously, we talked about this right before we went to break, how Justin and Dom, you guys aren't real big sports bettors. And I understand that, you know, a lot of it has to come with, you know, there's a lot of money at stake, and whether it's $10, $5, $15, you don't want to lose that money, because at the end of the day, you're risking it, and you don't know if you're going to win or you're going to lose. Nothing in sports betting is a guaranteed lock.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you, Anthony. I'm going to go with a little bit of a stretch here, too. I know people talking to me about, oh, you get into the sport more, you get into games that you never see, like you never really pay attention to. It's kind of like fantasy football or something, whatever fantasy you do in a way. I personally think if you can't just sit down and watch, like if you run into a game that's not consisting of your favorite team, you're personally not into the sport that much. Because I can sit down and I can watch a Reds-Cubs game, which I did the other day. And I get it, you can't watch every game and stuff, and it does keep you more invested, but I could do that without having to get my nerves going and stuff like that, because I would lose my mind. I would be going crazy knowing, even if it's a small bet, it's just like, you don't feel good about it. I mean, when I did fantasy football, it was the regular season, and we bet like $10 for the whole season, and I'm losing my mind after every game.
Right. So I guess that's probably why, because even though it's only $10 and it's through the whole season, right?
Yeah.
Every game, if you were to do that for every game, like Padres game, you bet like once a week, you know, it's like, oh, they win, lose, and you're losing.
I already go through enough stress with that team. Oh, I could never.
Yeah. But Justin, why aren't you a big sports bettor for that same reason? You're just afraid of just losing money because at the end of the day, it's all a massive risk.
And understanding, I feel like the whole thing, I do, the closest thing I do is fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just understanding everything probably.
Right. No, yeah, I get it. It makes sense. It's not for everybody, you know, and you got to have discipline. I'll say it again and again. Discipline with everything. You know, only, you know, don't go crazy with it in the bank. You know, only bet with, only bet small amounts. And then if you're really feeling it, maybe once in a while you can go big. But don't do it every time, or else you become a broke man. So just be careful. Just be careful if and when you're betting. Bet responsibly. But since we do have a couple more minutes on the show, I feel like it'd be fun to talk about a game that we all love to enjoy playing. A game that recently came out, and it's a game that I unfortunately haven't had the privilege to play as much because I've been so busy. That I haven't been able to really sit down and enjoy it, and also because the service have been absolutely horrendous, and that is MLB The Show 21.
Oh my gosh.
Came out a couple weeks ago on PlayStation and Xbox. That was a big deal. We were both very excited for that, and I want to get your thoughts on the game. You know, Justin, I'll start with you. You're the newbie, but you're, out of all of us, you're the newest kind of player to the game, so... how are you enjoying the game? What's your team looking like? And what are your thoughts on it?
Finals have been kicking my butt, so I haven't been able to play in a while, but I like it so far. My best is probably the 90 diamond Josh Donaldson.
Okay.
The server crashing is just driving me crazy. But, I mean, the crossing consoles, so... I was expecting some of that to happen, but not this bad.
Yeah, I was telling Don this. It has not been this bad since 2017. They were like this for a straight month and a half. Like you couldn't even play a game. You couldn't even play an online game or something that it had to do with the servers. It had to be like all offline. It was not fun. But hopefully, you know, they're starting to stabilize them. They're keeping the fans updated on Twitter about, you know, if there's crashes and updates and maintenance and stuff like that. But it's just rough. But then again, it's a new console. It's a new generation of consoles. So there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of new technicalities and technical difficulties that they will run into. You know, technology is great, but it also sucks at the same time.
It just sucks straight up. No, I hate it technology.
Sucks straight up.
Yeah, there's always an issue when life goes too easy. Technology comes in the way. Let's just say that. I want to make 2 points before I get into my MLB The Show analysis. So first off,
let me say something real quick. I love the opening with the slam, like the 90s rap song Slam too. with the Slam Diego
and Don Rosillo. It's great. Well, I'll say the 1 point. Anthony, we have to, I know you have an Xbox now and it sucks, but we all three of us have to take on every single Xbox player and beat them and show them who's the boss. Who are the expertise? And also, yeah, the servers have been down a little bit, so I haven't really played online. I mean, the minute I get online, I'm like, and then the servers just crash. My best player, I would say, is Mark Canna, the 85 I just got. I'm not really. I can rake with gold. So, I mean, I was raking with an 81 Gleyber Torres, and then, you know, Gleyber Torres in real life went down to a 78. So that doesn't help my case.
Yeah, I haven't been playing well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, look, I haven't been playing much. My best players are obviously the diamonds I was able to get from pre-ordering the game, those 88-42 Jackie Robinson cards. I have Pedro Martinez and Babe Ruth on my team. They've been playing great for me for the times when I do get a chance to play. And yeah, I mean, I've been enjoying the game. I do believe it's a little bit slower. It's not as smooth. I think maybe because I'm playing on an old generation console. That's what I've noticed. So maybe if and when I get the Xbox, I don't know if it's worth it, depending on how much I do play in the near future. But I feel like if I were to get a next-gen console, it would be better. But yeah, I think the game is great. I feel like it's great that the Xbox community gets to enjoy the game as well. Because not only do I get to play it, but my friends get to play it, so then they get more into that. And that means they get more into baseball.
Dude, I want to see Wreckit get destroyed by you.
Oh, God. I was watching him play on Saturday, and, like, he was putting his PCI at the bottom of the strike zone. I was like, Wreckit, you got to put it up. He's like, why? I'm just like, dude, you're not going to be able to catch up to a high fastball or any high pitches, period. At least when you have it up, you can catch up to them, but then if you have to go down, it's easier to flick down than to flick up.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, you got a point.
If you ever play him, please live stream that.
Oh, I will. Yeah. I was playing on Saturday on Malcolm's thing, and I did Conquest for him, and his team isn't great, and I was kind of a little rusty, and I lost, and he was kind of mad. I was like, And then we did a home run derby, and I lost the CPU. I was pretty ashamed of myself that day.
Dude, there's sometimes those kind of days where you're just playing, and especially when you're batting, you're just not having it. It's either your timing or your straight up. Like accuracy.
Yeah, it's my timing because I was facing Chris. So I just couldn't catch up to the fastball. I just was not hitting it.
You know what I had trouble with? It's usually the slower pitchers because that fastball, even if it goes
Sunny Gray.
Yeah, if it goes like 91, I'm way too early on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm used to the high heat.
Yeah, I guess it probably annoys you guys too when they have a right. I think you said Sunny Gray right because his windup is so slow, right?
Oh my God, I aged 20 years.
Yeah, that's probably why too. But yeah, I'm glad you know you guys are enjoying the game. Justin, me and you have to play at some point. We have to go into battle because I've had battles with Dom. They've been pretty good.
You know, we ended, what was it, 20 with the best. I mean, seven games, World Series basically, and that was a fun one. That was really fun.
Yeah, that was fun. Sean's playing. He's grinding. So he'll definitely be in the mix as well. And yeah, maybe Malcolm and Wreckit if they get better at the game, but I feel like, you know, they're still struggling with hitting. So once they get that down pat, you know, maybe they can get in the fold. But with that being said, this is going to do it for this edition of the Sports Fever. Justin, my good friend, I thank you for coming on the show. It was a pleasure. We got to do this again one day.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on. Yeah. I don't know if you guys remember this, but my freshman year, I came on after you guys did a hip hop rap show. 6-7, you guys had the 5-6. I've been listening to you guys since then. Thank you for having me on. It's been so much fun. Can't wait to see you guys, what you guys do when you guys graduate. Gonna miss y'all next year.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we're gonna miss you too. Yeah, yeah, I can't believe. Can you believe it? Next week's gonna be our last show as undergrads, as college students. You knew that, right? Because we can't record the show Saturday.
Yeah, no,
because the 15th is graduation. So yeah, next week's gonna be the last show as me, Noah, and Dom get ready to graduate from Rider University. So yeah, and it's gonna be a fun one. We might have two. We might have two guests. One is confirmed, and one's looking like to be confirmed. So you'll find out who they are when you tune in next week at noon, only on 107.7 The Bronc, and at 1 o'clock on all podcasting platforms. But that's gonna do it for this episode. Be sure to hit us up on all our social media platforms: on Instagram, thesports_fever, Twitter, sportsfever1, and on our emails, thesportsfever@gmail.com. That's going to do it for us. Be sure to tune in next week, only on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7thebronc.com.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes Sundays from 12 to 1 on 107.7 The Bronc, and also on every podcasting platform you can think of.